I know some folks in the area remember you from your Monmouth College days and playing baseball and some things like that. Can you kind of just tell us what you've been up to in the past 10 years or so to get ready for The Voice?
Yeah, absolutely. So graduated from Monmouth in 2012 and moved to Chicago, and which is where I'm originally from. I'm originally from Evanston. And so moved home and, you know, worked there for a little bit, put together a couple different iterations of the Ross Clayton band, and played around for a couple years, you know. Played a lot of the regional places like Toby Keith's Bar and Grill and just kind of Great Lakes, you know. So bounced around there for a little bit until I met my wife, who is from Yukon, Oklahoma. And I packed it up and came down here and started playing around in Oklahoma under the same, you know, still Ross Clayton band, and found a new group of guys down here and played around in Oklahoma for a while. Got a little bit of attention in Nashville for a song that I put out, and did that for a bit, but kind of hit a wall. And you know, the big music machine that is Nashville kind of chewed me up and spit me out, you know. And you know, it just kind of became clear that my time out there on the road was not more valuable than my time with my new family, right? I had a daughter and then another daughter, and just that was a way too much, you know. It wasn't really adding up, and so I hung it up, and that was back in like 2000, and I think 2018 is the last time I played a show. Just put the guitar up on the wall. I mean, I still play here at the house and for the kids, and sing and write songs and stuff like that, but I didn't perform really at all for like 5 years. And then that was from like 2018 to 2022, and got an email from the producers at The Voice to submit like a 60-second thing, you know, just like a verse and a chorus, and I just kind of fired it off on a whim, shot in the dark, and here we are.
Very cool.
So yeah.
Yeah. And you sang Blue Ancient Code by Keith Urban for your blind auditions, and I imagine that, you know, there's a lot of thinking and maybe strategizing behind your song choice. Can you kind of talk about your thought process for picking a song, and how did you settle on that?
Yeah, so Keith Urban is, I'm a big fan of Keith. I say his first name like we're buddies. Mr. Urban. Yeah. I've always been a big fan of Keith Urban, and you know, the way he sort of infuses country and blues and rock, and those are three of my pillars, right? And of like musical influence. And I really love the way he does that. I really love the way that song just kind of bounces around, you know. It I don't know, it's just kind of a groovy song. And you know, the way we did it on the show was a little done up and dramatic, because I'm kind of a belter, right? And so it wasn't as like stripped down and bluesy, but I love that about Keith Urban. And the song just kind of, it was the way I sing it is a different take on the song, and I was hoping that would land. You know, my voice isn't really like Keith Urban's voice, and you know, I was just hoping that a different spin on it would help it stick, and I guess it did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Well, and also I wanted to ask about picking your coach, because you went with Niall Horan, and after he gave one of the more impassioned pitches that I've seen on the show, can you kind of talk about that? Were you strongly considering him before the audition, or did that pitch really win you over?
That pitch really won me over. I wasn't really considering him. I wouldn't have been able to name a One Direction song if you paid me,
yeah,
like before my time on the on The Voice. you know, that kind of came after my time with boy bands. I'm more of an NSYNC Backstreet Boys guy.
Right.
I really didn't know who he was. And, representing Oklahoma on the show, Blake sort of seemed like a shoe-in. It seemed like the right move.
Mm-hmm.
Heading up on stage, even. There's a lot of thoughts that go through your head, you know, like part of you wants to just go to the highest bidder, right?
Yeah.
And, part of you wants to go with who you had your mind set on, you know, when you're kind of daydreaming about it.
Yeah.
But then when you're actually standing there and, watching all of that go down and watching him turn the chairs around and just go to these great lengths and get down on his knees, how could I turn him down after all that? And honestly, learning more about him after we found out who the coaches were going to be for this season, reading into him and listening to his discography as an independent artist, not part of One Direction, and kind of doing a lot of research on him. He's an incredible musician and an incredible songwriter. Has a lot of rock influence that I really enjoy. You know, some of his favorite bands are like the Eagles. And he goes through them on the show. But a lot of American rock bands are his favorite, even country artists. You know, he's a big fan of. And so I started to warm to him while I was just kind of researching him and the coaches, and he started kind of climbing the list. He was probably third. As I walked out on stage, you know, he was probably third. But then after all of that drama, I couldn't turn it down.
And that experience of getting one chair to turn, but then all four chairs to turn, I always am thinking when I watch the show, how does a person keep their focus and composure when you're getting that kind of, the feedback that you're looking for with the chairs turning? How were you prepared for that, and how did you work with that?
So going out on stage, my plan was to just not look at the coaches, mm-hmm. Because I knew I would geek out if I did. And I would, either get choked up or like start laughing or something.
Yeah.
So my approach was really just to not look at the crowd, you know, over to the side, or look over them, you know. It's a big room. There are a lot of people there. And I like to engage with the crowd when I'm performing. So that's kind of easy for me. But just knowing that four of the biggest, you know, musical artists in the world are sitting there listening to you, it's pretty nerve wracking. So, I just tried to kind of not look. And then at one point I turned and I could see Blake's face. So I knew that he turned, and, with the music being so loud and the wedges and stuff, you can't hear any of the, button pushing and all that stuff, you know, like you can't really hear anything. You're just kind of focused on the band. And so I just saw him, so I knew that he had turned, and at that point, you know, you can kind of feel the blood rush out of your head because you know you made it, you know?
Yeah.
And so then there's a little bit of a release there and a release of pressure. And but I didn't want to engage with him too much, because there was obviously in my head, I'm like, well, you could still screw this up. So,
yeah.
So, don't go crazy. So I kind of went, walked over to the other side of the stage and, started talking to the people on the other side of the stage. And by the time I got back to center stage, I saw that all the other three had turned. And then I think you see it in the audition. I can't remember, but, I'm kind of hunched over there at the end.
Yeah.
Just 'cause it was, then it finally all sort of hits you, you know, like once you're done singing and you can see the end result, it's just unbelievable. And that's when the adrenaline just kind of hits you right in the chest, of like what reality is right now. So.
Because before that you haven't interacted with or seen the judges up close or anything. So then you're in theory, you've never seen Blake Shelton in person, and then his big face is just staring at you all of a sudden, right?
Yeah. That's it, you know, because when, you don't know until you know. I don't know how else to say it. You just kind of think of it as the back of chairs, you know. You know in your head that they're sitting there, but you can't see them because they're huge chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just try to, yeah, you're like, well, I'm just singing to some chairs. No big deal. You know, that's what you're telling yourself, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You're lying to yourself. But but that's the narrative you try to tell yourself. So,
yeah.
No, I had not interacted with any of them, and it's just, it's just a jump in the deep end.
And this might be a difficult question, but, you know, you did a country song and you talked a little bit about, you know, and I think people can tell even from your performance that based on your look and your sound, you're a little country tinged, but beyond country. I just kind of wondered what your thoughts are on balancing kind of your being true to yourself and your own artistry versus being on a show where you're being judged and part of the goal is to appeal to the audience. Kind of how do you balance those two things?
You know, that is a difficult question. You know, there's a part of you that wants to give the people what they want, right?
Yeah.
But I think I would be, I'd be worse off if I didn't stay true to myself, right? Which is, yeah, country is a huge influence on me, and I write a lot of country songs. I listen to a million country artists, and but I also have sort of a rock side, sort of a bluesy soul side. And so, you know, it'll be interesting at trying to balance that to appeal to the masses still and stay true to yourself. It's a difficult thing, but I think you can't just give the people what they want. You got to stay true to yourself. Otherwise, you'll be mad at yourself down the road, right? If you turn into an artist that you just isn't you, you know, that would be your biggest regret. So, you know, my goal is to stay true to myself, and, you know, and myself is kind of a hybrid of a lot of things. So there's a lot of different songs that I would be able to easily say like, yeah, I identify this and identify with this in different genres. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to pigeonhole myself too much. But yeah, it's all about balance, man. You know,
yeah.
Just trying to make sure you stay true to yourself, and then, you know, hopefully people latch onto that, and that's where, you know, that's where success comes from in my mind, is when people become a fan of who you are instead of, you know, who you want to seem like.
Absolutely. And yeah. Finally, I was wondering, and maybe it's too early to say because you got to see how the show turns out, but does making it onto The Voice, do you think, change your thinking about your future goals as far as your career in music?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, by day I work in software development. I'm a product manager for a software development company. And yeah, it's definitely got me thinking about whether I will stay as a product manager or, or if there is a future, a sustainable future in music. It certainly looks like there is at this point in time. But you know, there's a long road ahead, on the show, and I'm excited for it, and just going to kind of ride the wave, you know, I'm just going to keep coming back until they tell me to go home, I guess. see where I land at the end of it. You know what I mean? Music's always been a passion of mine. It's obviously my dream to do that full time and make a profitable living on it. But you know, I've got a great day job. I've got a family and I've got a great life at home too. So, you know, if I can fuse those two, in some way, I would just be thrilled. But to answer your question, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, music sure is looking up, right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know a lot of people around here are excited for you, and we're excited, to see how you do, and we'll be rooting for you. And thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I love all the support from the Monmouth-Galesburg area. It's been a thrill. I really grew up in that part of in that part of Illinois. Those 4 years in college are a short time, but a pretty transformative one, and had a lot of fun. And the rivalry with Knox and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all in good fun, and I love the support from the area. So thank you to everybody listening, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Best of luck, and good to talk to you, man.
Thank you. Take care, Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye.